listening to WGXC Acra Hudson Catskill 90.7 FM.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today on the WGXC Morning Show, you've tuned in during the WGXC Tower Power Pledge Drive, where we're asking if you can pitch in some money to help keep community voices on the air at 90.7 FM by going to wgxc.org/donate. It's WGXC. It stands for Green and Columbia Counties. And it's .org/donate. It's a place to go to support all sorts of organizations locally in Southern Albany and Rensselaer County in Western Massachusetts, out in Schoharie and Delaware County, Northern Ulster and Dutchess County, in Western Connecticut, and throughout the Hudson Valley. WGXC covers news and more, gives people voices, and amplifies those voices on FM 3,300 watts. We're asking you to help make that all continue at wgxc.org/donate. You can make a difference in your community and helping your community radio station. On Sunday, October 9th, turn out or tune in to a performance of Elvis Perkins in Deerland at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Elvis Perkins in Deerland is Columbia County resident Elvis Perkins playing with Nicholas Kinsey, Brigham Bro, and Wyndham Garnett. They don't play too often out in the Hudson Valley, but they have played at the Newport Folk Festival and the Primavera Sound Festival. This is their first Hudson Valley appearance in a decade. To turn out or tune in, there'll be a live webcast at wgxc.org from 8 to 10 p.m. Sunday, October 9th at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Go to the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org for more information.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by SunCommon, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of One Universal Media of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here.
Patricia R. Doxey reports in the Daily Freeman that Republican Mark Molinaro reiterated his opposition to abortions after 17 weeks in an interview with the newspaper this week. He also said he was, and I quote, pro-life, end quote, but believes the procedure should be, and I quote, rare, safe, and legal, end quote. Molinaro, the Dutchess County executive, is running against Josh Riley, a Democrat from the Ithaca area, to be congressional representative of the new 19th Congressional District, which now stretches from the Hudson Valley and Catskills to Tompkins County in western New York. The abortion issue was credited by many for Molinaro's loss to Democrat Pat Ryan in a special election in August for the old 19th Congressional District. Now, Molinaro is saying, and I quote, "I will not support Congress taking action to ban abortion nationwide," end quote. Fellow Republican Lindsey Graham, a senator from South Carolina, has proposed a nationwide ban on abortion after 15 weeks, and Molinaro has not commented on how he would vote on a 15-week ban. Molinaro claims Riley has been intentionally distorting his position on abortion to, and I quote, "frighten women into thinking that I don't care deeply. I do. I want us to have a sensitive conversation about what we think the limits on abortion ought to be and what the consequences of those decisions are," end quote. Molinaro says of his possible future votes to limit women's medical conditions that, and I quote, "I know that we're not going to necessarily come to an absolute agreement, but I do believe there's some commonality. I think there is some common ground," end quote. Voting begins October 29th and ends November 8th. And you can read the full story in the Daily Freeman.
Scott Stafford reports for the Berkshire Eagle that beginning November 1st in Massachusetts, it will be a state code violation to put textiles and mattresses in the trash. By adding textiles and mattresses to its disposal ban, the Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection is prohibiting those items from being deposited in landfills. The ultimate goal is to reduce the amount of waste buried in the still available space in landfills, according to DEP officials. John Fisher, DEP Deputy Division Director for Solid Waste, said that, quote, 95% of textiles recovered can be reused, unquote. The DEP's final 2030 Solid Waste Master Plan establishes goals to reduce disposal statewide by 30%, from 5.7 million tons in 2018 to 4 million tons in 2030. Massachusetts residents and businesses dispose of roughly 230,000 tons of textiles every year, even though nearly 95% of it could be reused or recycled instead of thrown away. About 6% of the waste delivered to combustion facilities for disposal is made up of clothing, curtains, towels, and other fabrics. Massachusetts has 5 landfills left, and 3 will be closed by 2030. Textiles that should now be recycled include pants, shirts, skirts, dresses, tops, jackets, pajamas, doggy beds, hats, gloves, shoes, blankets, sheets, pillowcases, and mattresses. A list of places in Massachusetts that will accept textile goods for repurposing or recycling is available at the DEP website. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle.
Rick Carlin is reporting for the Times Union that Amazon workers in Skodak voted this week 406 to 206 against joining the Amazon labor union. Heather Goodall, the Amazon worker who organized the union vote, said she thought their organizing efforts led to a recent $1 an hour raise, and said she is looking into labor law violations at Amazon's Skodak Fulfillment Center, a 1 million square foot warehouse where workers sort packages and prepare items for shipping. Goodall told a small group of reporters gathered outside the Leo W. O'Brien Federal Building in Albany, where the National Labor Relations Board oversaw the vote, and I quote, "I want to say thank you. We had faced a lot of adversity over the last couple of weeks. We're going to go ahead and remain strong," end quote. Amazon corporate spokesperson Kelly Nantel said, and I quote, "We're glad that our team in Albany was able to have their voices heard and that they chose to keep the direct relationship with Amazon, as we think that this is the best arrangement for both our employees and customers," end quote. You can read more about this story in the Times Union.
Mary Dempsey reports at Columbia Green Media that Hudson's Promenade Hill Park is set to officially reopen on October 25th, 17 months after construction began and 9 months later than originally planned. Quote, "All the work at the park will be finished at the end of the week," unquote, Mayor Kamal Johnson said October 18th. "The construction project will wind down this week with National Grid on site to install the lighting and other finishing touches." The park refurbishment project includes a redesigned lower plaza and upgrades to the playground area. The lower portion of the park has been redeveloped and includes an American with Disabilities Act compliant walkway to the upper promenade. A spray shower was also added to the park. The lower portion of the park and the playground have been closed since construction began last year. The park project was first budgeted at $1.1 million, but that number quickly increased after the lowest construction bid submitted was $500 over budget. The funds for the park came from the city's $10 million State Downtown Revitalization Initiative grant, along with private contributions from the H. Van Emmergen Foundation and the Colarusso family. The park's redevelopment was necessitated by a 2019 settlement the city reached with the U.S. Department of Justice over updating some of the city's infrastructure to bring it into compliance with the American with Disabilities Act. Read more about the story at HudsonValley360.com.
Melissa Hale Spencer reports in the Altamont Enterprise that Albany County is surveying residents on how to spend $29.6 million in federal funds from the American Rescue Plan Act. The money is meant to help the economic fallout from COVID-19, public health, support of essential workers, and certain kinds of infrastructure. Albany County Executive Dan McCoy, while announcing the survey, said, and I quote, "While the first tranche of federal dollars was critical to addressing sales tax revenue shortfalls to ensure county government could properly respond to the pandemic, we must now look ahead to the types of projects that will allow us to continue moving forward stronger than before," end quote. County residents can go to albanycountyarpa.org/survey to fill out the survey by November 16th. And you can read the full story in the Altamont Enterprise.
Liz Montgomery reports for Porcupine Soup that French cement producer Lafarge has pleaded guilty in federal court to supporting Islamic terrorist groups. Lafarge maintains a plant in Ravenna. The company is a global buildings material manufacturer headquartered in France, and Lafarge Cement Syria, a Lafarge subsidiary, pleaded guilty on October 18th to providing support and resources to the Islamic State of Iraq and al-Sham or ISIS, as well as the al-Nusra Front, both U.S.-designated foreign terrorist groups. Immediately following the guilty pleas, U.S. District Judge William F. Kuntz II sentenced the defendants to terms of probation and to pay financial penalties, including criminal fines of $90.78 million and forfeiture of $687 million, totaling $777.78 million. The charges arose out of Lafarge's executive scheme to pay terrorists in exchange for permission to operate a cement plant in Syria from August 2013 to October 2014, which enabled Lafarge to gain approximately $70.30 million in revenue. Quote, "In the midst of a civil war, Lafarge made the unthinkable choice to put money into the hands of ISIS, one of the world's most barbaric terrorist organizations, so that it could continue selling cement," unquote, said Breon Peace, U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of New York. Quote, "Today, Lafarge has admitted and taken responsibility for its staggering crime. Never before has a corporation been charged and with providing material support and resources to foreign terrorist organizations," unquote. Lafarge executives intentionally structured their agreements with ISIS to compensate the organization based on the amount of cement that Lafarge was able to sell, effectively a revenue-sharing agreement, to incentivize the terrorist group to act in Lafarge's economic interest, the U.S. Justice Department charged. Lafarge was purchased by Switzerland-based Holcim in 2015. The Ravenna plant, which opened on State Route 9W in southern Albany County in 1962 and still operates under the name Lafarge, describes Holcim as its, quote, parent company, unquote. The DOJ noted that the former Lafarge executives concealed their conduct from Holcim and its auditors before and after Holcim acquired the company. Read more about this story at porcupinesoup.com.
Heather Bellow reports in the Berkshire Eagle that bird feeders are not illegal in Great Barrington. The Western Massachusetts town did recently pass a new wildlife feeding bylaw. The new rule allows bird feeders, but says all food sources, such as bird feeders or unsecured garbage, should be removed within 48 hours if it is drawing a bear or other wildlife to a yard or neighborhood. Birds, though, are allowed to keep eating. But if a homeowner disregards a warning about unwanted wildlife outside dining, then fines kick in, with the first fine at $50, a second and beyond at $200.
The new bylaws read, and I quote, "This regulation shall not be interpreted so as to prohibit bird feeders or bird feeding. If a bird feeder or bird feed is determined to be the feeding source of nuisance wildlife, causing an attractant issue or a public safety threat, the bird feeder and seed debris shall be removed within 48 hours, end quote. Great Barrington Board Chair Michael Lanou said the law is for repeat offenders. He said, and I quote, "The whole thing is kind of unfortunate. It's usually one or two people," end quote. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Thursday, patchy for us before 9 a.m. Otherwise, it will be sunny with a high near 53 degrees. Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 34 degrees. And on Friday, sunny with a high near 59 degrees. And Friday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 39 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Thursday, October 20th. Tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on 90.7 FM as we continue our WGXC Tower Power Pledge Drive, asking you whether we should keep our antenna on a large tower in Greene County. Do we renew our lease now? We need to feel financially secure to do that. We're asking you to make a donation, wgxc.org/donate. And even better, become a sustaining supporter. For just 17 cents a day or $5 a month, you can become a sustaining supporter and make sure that local community voices, from sophomores in high school to senior citizens, have their say on the local airwaves for a community conversation that you can listen into. So tune in on Thursday, October 20th, to all sorts of community voices, and turn out at wgxc.org/donate to make a difference in your community.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
On Saturday, October 22nd, come out to Wave Farm and view the installations. It's part of WGXC's Fall Pledge Drive. Noon to 6 p.m. on Saturday, October 22nd, Wave Farm will welcome drop-in visitors for tours of the campus, including the WGXC Acre Studio and the many installations on the property that employ radio in some way. Also, community members and local nonprofit organizations can come by to record public service announcements to air on 90.7 FM, and members of the public can record a station ID for WGXC. Again, that's Wave Farm is open for visits on Saturday, October 22nd during the WGXC Fall Pledge Drive from noon to 6 p.m. Go to wgxc.org for more information, and we'll see you on Saturday, October 22nd at Wave Farm.
Name, Patty Boom. Host of Vinyl Freedom. Where? WGXC, when? Every first and third Tuesday from 12:10 to 2 p.m. What? Streaming online at WGXC.org. What? Tune in for a genre shakedown, all kinds of choice cuts of wax for you and yours to listen to. Dig it.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, October 20th. This morning, early on, it's 35 degrees in Woodstock and 38 over in Athens. Regional average soil temperature is 50 degrees. The snow situation is the same as it's been for the last couple days. Even though it's not going to fall in our foreseeable future, it is still blowing us kisses from Lake Erie. It will be partly cloudy today with a high of 57 at 3 p.m. Overnight, temperatures fall to 32 degrees, sparking more frost warnings. Then we make it up to 60 degrees on a mostly sunny Friday. 36 degrees overnight takes us into a sunny Saturday with a high of 66. Sunday, we only make it to 60 degrees, but conditions will remain dry. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 6:30 a.m., high tide at 12:19 p.m., and low tide once again at 6:33 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 57 degrees, and the tide strength will be average. Sunset today will be at 5:54 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:09 a.m. Looking way up, we see the Orionid meteor shower is beginning and is expected to peak very early tomorrow at about 20 meteors per hour. Solar wind speed is currently 425 kilometers per second at 5.3 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 1, quiet. The current sunspot number is 50. And this has been the better weather brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate. By the way, feeling lost? Don't know who you are? Perfect time to head on over to John Doe Books and Records in Hudson. And while you're there finding yourself, discover what WGXC and its partners have to offer. Maybe even make a donation.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Michael and Lisa Lindsay Hogg of Claverick, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
My goal is to build community right here by adding 4 new sustaining supporters today during this hour. We're going to help to raise money so the station, WGXC, can renew its lease on the tower. The tower is key. That's what makes the radio go out. And I had a good view of the tower today on my way into the station here. So how do you pledge? Go to WGXC.org or you can call 518-697-7400. Help me add 4 new sustaining supporters this hour.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur, or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
You are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM. You've tuned in during our Tower Power Pledge Drive, where we're asking for your help to keep our antenna on our tower in Greene County, beaming out 3,300 watts of community voices into the ether. The signal reaches past Pittsfield and Prattsville and extends into Schoharie and Delaware counties, northern Ulster and Dutchess counties, western Connecticut and western Massachusetts, and almost all of Greene and Columbia counties, and most of Albany and Rensselaer counties. We tried to provide public service for that area with interviews with political candidates, news about local emergencies and water poisoning. What's going on in the Hudson River and out in the Catskill Mountains? We've got sophomores in high school and senior citizens on the air telling you about their stories. You can listen in to other tribes and what they're talking about and hear other points of view on 90.7 FM, points of view that you don't hear on most media outlets, certainly most media outlets in the Upper Hudson Valley. Most media outlets in the Hudson Valley are falling away. You don't want WGXC to be one of those newspapers that's closed, where you remember the past glories of when there were local reporters at town meetings. We don't have reporters at town meetings, but we do broadcast town meetings. We have web streams with the town of Catskill, village of Philmont, the city of Hudson, and you can hear their meetings, wgxc.org/listen, some of the extra web streams that are available at wgxc.org. We tried to provide you with community service, with the information you need and the entertainment that you want. You hear songs you've never heard before and others that you've forgotten about. Lots of local music and more on WGXC.org, 90.7 FM. And we're asking for your help today. We need to make a decision whether to renew our lease on a large tower in Greene County. We need to see some community support if we're going to renew that lease. So we need you today to go to WGXC.org/donate. That's WGXC.org/donate. You can make a difference in your community today so that you have local community radio tomorrow. That's WGXC.org/donate and make a difference in your local community. WGXC.org/donate. You can also call 518-697-7400 or stop by any of the three local record stores participating in the WGXC Tower Power Pledge Drive. That's John Doe Books and Records on Warren Street in Hudson, Spike's Record Rack on Main Street in Catskill, and the Boom and Bloom Weekend Record and Flower Store on Route 145 out in East Durham. So make a difference in your community today. Go to WGXC.org/donate. Make a contribution. Become a sustaining supporter so we can stay on that tower and continue broadcasting at 90.7 FM. WGXC, creative community solar-powered radio for your open ears. Thank you.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
We need additional federal funding to help, you know, the most vulnerable families in our country pay these high bills until either supply increases, prices come down.
With just a few weeks until the midterm elections, President Biden announced his plans to address oil and energy prices, which have remained steadily higher than average despite crude oil prices dropping on international markets. Biden stood by his decision to release 15 million barrels of oil from the country's strategic petroleum reserve to help increase supply and drive prices down, and says it falls in line with his plan to transition to cleaner energy. Republicans criticized the move, saying it was politically motivated.
Now, the problem is these guys were asleep. I don't know where they've been. The price at the pump should reflect what the price of a barrel of oil costs.
Biden also announced $2.8 billion in grant funding, which will go to 20 companies across the country to aid in commercial-level battery production for use in electric vehicles. Biden says the action will help battle the economic hardship the country's facing while simultaneously contributing to fight climate change. A federal judge showed former President Trump signed a document under oath within a Georgia lawsuit acknowledging the information was true and decided to proceed with voter fraud allegations anyway, despite Trump's own lawyers telling him it was false.
Vote on Election Day in person, okay? Because it's really much harder for them to cheat.
The revelation comes amid the legal battle between conservative lawyer John Eastman and the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th assault, which was able to obtain email subpoenaed from Eastman. In Florida Tuesday, Republican Senator Marco Rubio went head-to-head in a debate with Democratic Representative Val Demings. The two candidates debated a wide range of issues ranging from guns, natural disasters, and the economy. One of the night's most heated exchanges surrounded abortion.
And that's why every law that's out there has exceptions, including the one that she's attacking me on, has exceptions. Every law I've ever passed has exceptions. We're never going to get a vote on a law that doesn't have exceptions, because that's where the majority of the American people are, and I respect and understand that.
Finally, Penny Nance, CEO of the group Concerned Women for America, a conservative and evangelical nonprofit organization, says she hopes women get out to vote in the upcoming midterms and believes women are interested in issues beyond just abortion.
We're not single issue voters. If you look at polling, when you talk to women about what their concerns are, abortion's at the bottom. At the top right now is inflation and crime.
I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our ATRUST indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Hey, how are you?
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Let's say you're a felon, but you're allowed to register and vote and handed a voting card by a state official. So that means you can vote, right? But in August, Florida's new election police force started making voter fraud arrests of people who had been improperly issued voting information cards by the state of Florida. Video obtained by the Tampa Bay Times shows officers arresting convicted felons who had completed their sentences and parole for voter fraud. But it's confusion over Florida's 2018 constitutional change, allowing most felons to vote, which seems to be the real culprit. The video shows conversations between the officers and confused citizens saying that they had been given a voting card at the DMV and thought they were now eligible voters. The Tampa Bay Times reviewed the cases of several alleged cases of voter fraud, and in most of those cases, state officials had issued voter information cards to those arrested. When Florida voters approved the constitutional amendment in 2018, it excluded felons convicted of murder and sex crimes. But the registration form used at the DMV for voter registration, while it includes a disclosure about being a felon, doesn't clarify that felons who committed murder don't qualify, according to the Times. Within hours of the arrest, Governor Ron DeSantis held a press conference touting his crackdown on voter fraud. "They're going to pay the price," DeSantis said. Indeed. Articles and groups taking action are linked at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at WGXC.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org/donate now.
Next on WGXC, we tune into WGXC newscaster Philip Grant, who during the WGXC Awards told the story of how he first got into radio.
Did I see Philip Grant come in? Was that Philip Grant that came in?
Yes, you know. I am here.
Oh, my. Oh,
there he is.
See that?
Yes.
Do you see what I'm saying?
I'm watching all of you.
I feel like God's talking to me.
Yeah. Is that you, Morgan Freeman?
Is that you?
I deliberately made it so I could see you.
That's always how it is, Phil.
Wow, Vern, he makes me feel like a soprano. Like a soprano or voices. Man, I'm jealous.
Yeah, we got to have Phil. Yo, Phil, we need you on the Drive Time Radio Show, man.
I listen, you guys are very good.
Oh,
that's hey, we'll take it.
Nice. Say it so Tom could hear.
Tom,
he is your father.
Wow.
Well, I'd like to thank the Academy and whatever.
Wow, the Force is strong with Vader.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we having him on. Slay, we having him on. Dia, we having him on. Jay, we having him on.
Man, I'm gonna have to do some throat exercises just so I can compete and feel like I am.
I gotta have a voice off.
I am worthy of WGXC.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Phil, next time. Philip, how did you tell the story about how you got started in radio?
I went to when I retired, I'd always wanted to be in radio. You mean from way back, Tom?
You can tell it however you want. Tell it however you want. We're ahead of schedule here, so.
Okay.
Way back.
Picture this. 1969. I used to love to listen to WWRL 1600 in Manhattan from out of Harlem, old school radio. And I decided when I got back from NUM, I got out of the Army, I wanted to be a DJ. So I went to the New York School of Announcing and Speech and took my course. And after I took my course, I found out that DJs made about $200 a month. And I was already making way more than that as a teletype operator. So I did not go before a microphone until 50 years later when I retired up here. And I met the crew from WGXC. They said they were starting a radio station. And I came over. I was here the first day.
Wow.
I saw the back of my head in that photo that you have online when I was about 200 pounds less. And I think the first day on the air, we were reading the news. It was horrible.
And now it's worse.
Yeah, well, now it's groomed.
Still learning bosses.
So that's my radio life. I wanted to be hired. You're an entirely different person when you're 63 than when you are 19. So at 63, after I got out of the second radio school, I realized that if I was hired, I'd be working for the man. And I didn't want to work for the man. So I came over to WGXE.
Yes.
I'd rather work for free than be me.
Yeah.
WGXE, we are not the man.
I like that. WGXE, we are not the man.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXE renewable weather forecast for Thursday, October 20th. And we start each renewable weather forecast with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. $3.55 a gallon is the lowest price GasBuddy.com knows about. That's at the Mobil in Cairo. Then we look at the air quality forecast, and it's 23 in the good range, virtually unchanged from Wednesday, as is the UV index. It's again a 3, the bottom end of the moderate range. National Weather Service in Albany says it should be sunny on Thursday with a high of 51 and a southwest wind 7 to 10 miles per hour with gusts as high as 20 miles per hour spinning local windmills. Thursday night, the forecast calls for cloudy skies, gradually becoming clear overnight with a low around 33 and a south wind 3 to 6 miles per hour. Friday, the prediction is for sunny skies with a high of 58 and a wind from the south 5 to 7 miles per hour in the afternoon. Mostly clear is the forecast Friday night with a low around 39. And then Saturday should be sunny with a high of 64 and a low around 41. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
You can do whatever you want. There's probably too many options right now, right?
Yeah.
So some people have taken even this, like anything sitting here, and said, can I get a copy of this and then cut it out? Or there's also tons of stuff that's already printed here, and all of these are up for grabs. So others have already come in and made things. And so you can take this and, like, keep expanding on them.
It's very unusual, because usually you don't come into a gallery and expect to, like, make things yourself. But the idea is that how, you know, so he's sort of taken all these images, protests, different protest movements, social movements from throughout history, and created templates that can be used and reused. And then in this workshop, we have silk screening set up, and it's nice because people can learn about the process of screen printing. It's something you, unless you took a course in it in school, you may not have ever seen how screen printing works or what it is.
And this can be one plate, basically, so like one screen, so where you'd see two where you have them overlap. So this was two different versions, and then run back through again, actually, for this ghost print, I think.
Yeah.
But, so, like, you can take something like this and combine it with this.
Okay. This is an exhibition by the artist and activist Josh McPhee. And basically, he's created a library, a lexicon of images that visitors can come and use to create their own poster designs. And these sort of templates that you see on the wall have, like, history on the back of them about where these different images, how they evolved over time. And so he's sort of tapping into the idea of what memes were before the internet, but how these images have resurfaced different protest movements over time. So it's an unusual exhibition in that it's an actual workshop and you can come in and create stuff.
So they can choose
any
of those images, or what do they do?
So there's a few different things. These templates on the wall are designed to be used with the Rezo, which is that machine in the back that looks like a photocopier, but it's not. It's a fancy printing machine. It's kind of like maybe like a mix of an offset printer for people who are familiar with that. So it creates a plate for whatever your design you're mixing in there. It's got two colors, red and black, so you'll see a lot of the posters hanging up are red and black. But it prints with layering them, so it's like actual thick layer of ink. But you can kind of physically like block parts of these images, like say take out the text and then use other parts of it so it gets scanned in to be one layer, and then you can layer it with another image or your own text creation or whatever that you want to add to it.
Oh, like you could put your organization's
Yeah.
Or your upcoming event.
Yes.
On there. So tell me who you're offering this to.
So this workshop is open to any members of the community that want to come in and create posters. Mostly it's designed for like different kinds of social movements that people care about, but you can also just come in and play around with the images. Obviously it's a lot of like protest kind of language imagery and a lot of contemporary themes you'll see in that. So some of the screens that were created for this exhibition, we've got the Safe Abortion Now, We Will Fight flags that can be layered and set up in these stations. And then we've also got the robot arm. This is a Nathan Melst screen, sort of punching the Supreme Court. And then we've got a couple of screens over there. So we've got Abolish the Body Cops, Reproductive Justice Now. So sort of like timely, topical issues.
What kind of groups have come in so far?
A lot of student classes have signed up, but then we've had like outside groups. So we have a group of seniors coming today, and I have a group that works on sort of spreading information about how to save the lake, their lake community, so that they can sort of spread awareness about use of fertilizers that drain into the lake, that produce a weed problem, that kind of thing. So like health of the lake. I've recently been in contact with Food Not Bombs organization. So they're trying to get a group to come together. So yeah, lots of wide variety of community groups.
How long does this go on? And if a group hears this and wants to get involved, what could they do?
So they can reach out to us at Alpaca. There's a contact information on the website, or they can reach out to me directly, RebeccaTolley@gmail.com, and we'll set you up with a time slot. We have like wide open schedule for the final week next week. It runs until the 29th. So we're hoping to get a few more people coming through here. This is all supported by a grant. So we want to have lots of groups coming through and people taking advantage of the space while it's here. And everything's free and provided. So that's unusual opportunity too.
Yeah. And it's just the look of the whole workshop is really fun. This is a little out of order, but how did you become the instructor for this as an artist and as a teacher? How'd you end up here?
So I teach screen printing at UAlbany, and I've worked with Alpaca Gallery in the past as an artist exhibiting and mostly in that capacity. So they were familiar with me and my work. And one of the things I like to do is live screen printing. So I think that's probably why they thought of me, because this is like a made up, like on the spot shop. And I like kind of engaging with people who come up and want to learn how to make prints. And so they needed somebody to kind of help organize the space that was familiar with the process. The instructors are just here to help you use the equipment. So we've got, in addition to the screen printing and the Rezo, we've got a button maker, and we've got, basic rubber stamping, which anybody can pick up and do, you know, so like very, very accessible.
I'm Natasha Holmes, a gallery assistant for Alpaca, and also a teacher at Sage in the art department usually.
You've been one of the instructors on this the entire time here, it sounds
yeah,
like.
Yeah. A lot of workshops. I think I've done like 10 or 11 now. And some of the workshops are coming from the school, so some of the teachers want a tour of the show as well. So usually there's a few of us that have that extra ability to give them the frontal tour, since it's two shows in one. And then when we have the stuff in the back talking about the protest angle, has been really great for the gen ed classes.
What age?
Let's see, there's three separate versions of classes that are coming in. So one is a freshman class, the second version is sophomores and juniors.
In college or high school?
College, yeah. Okay. We have had, I don't think we've had any high school students. We've had high school teachers. We had a whole, Albany City teachers group that came in made art for the day, and it was awesome.
What's your feeling on how the kids react?
The stamps and buttons are usually the most favorite, of course. They're accessible.
Yeah.
They can make small ones. Some of them get really into it, and they'll start writing and drawing their own images. And then others have colored or done the overlappings with the stamps here. Sometimes we have groups that, like, they're walking out with 10 buttons apiece and then get really into it. But and then others will be quiet and really get into the looking at the history on the back of all of the lexicons. So all of those sheets have a history and a story on each one of them. So once they start seeing the process, then it's easier for them to understand like what we can make and the possibilities behind it. But at first, it's usually overwhelming.
Do you think that the young people have been exposed to a lot of these images already? Like for me, you know, growing up in the 80s and 90s, like so much of this feels so familiar.
Right.
Like it's part of the sort of graphic language that I grew up with.
Yeah, sure. No, I don't think they have. I think some of them, what we've talked about and Josh pointed out early on was the repetition of some of the symbols. So especially prevalent is the raised fist.
Right.
And so over and over again of like, what does that mean? What can we say about it? Where did it start and where did it come from? And that the usage of these over time, also the message can change by how they get juxtaposed together differently. So there is new ones up there as recent as like the indigenous women missing. It's like the red handprint over the face. Uh-huh. So there's like one up there with just the red handprint from the 80s AIDS posters.
Right.
Yeah. So they recognize more modern uses of them, but like the historical ones that are kind of the first thing seen on there isn't as prevalent.
So we could like divide up. So we could have somebody who wants to work on a poster. So then at the same time, people can try the screen printing.
The Graphic Liberation exhibit and workshop runs through October 29th at Opelka Gallery on New Scotland Avenue in Albany. If your community group is interested in signing up for an artist-guided workshop, you can email opalka@sage.edu to make an appointment. For Hudson Mohawk Magazine, this is Moses Nagel.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org. I'm Tom Rowe in Accra. And right now, we are listening to the sounds of extra web streams at Wave Farm. There are so many web streams you can listen to. We're mixing in Zach Poff's Pond Station, where you can listen underwater to the sounds in the Wave Farm pond. The test site for Acoustic Commons has a mic open in the Wave Farm woods. Quintron's traffic sacks is pointed at Route 23 in Accra, and Quintron's weather warlock takes the sound of the changing temperature, the changing precipitation, the changing sunlight, the changing wind, turns it into synthesized sound. And you can listen to WGXC and all our extra web streams and assorted sounds at wavefarm.org or WGXC.org. And we're hoping this is a reason you dig into your pockets and make a donation at WGXC.org/donate. Your contribution is needed now, as our current pledge drive is a referendum on whether to stay on our tower. We've got an antenna up on a big old tower in Greene County, and our lease is up, and we have to decide whether to continue our lease on our tower and continue FM broadcasting, and we need the financial security to do that. We think our listeners want us to stay on the tower and broadcasting on FM, but we don't quite know for sure, and so this taking of the temperature of our listeners is asking for you to go to WGXC.org/donate and keep us on that tower. Keep us broadcasting on FM 90.7. You hear so many different local community voices. Broadcasting live from throughout the community. We hope you like the drama of the natural sounds outside and man-made sounds that interrupt that natural drama. So make a donation for the extra web streams. Make a donation for the Community Voices. Make a donation for Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! Airing every day on 90.7 FM. Beaming voices out into the community. We get letters and calls from folks who say they don't have internet service, they don't have cable TV, they get their news from WGXC. We get letters from and donations from incarcerated individuals in local prisons in the Greene County listening area who thank us wholeheartedly for the little media they get in side. They get local news and music and more from WGXC, and they thank us sometimes with donations, which is sort of incredible since they make like 16 cents an hour and they send us $15 or $25 donations. So if you're in a prison right now and listening, thank you. If you made a donation, thank you just for listening. We want to thank all our listeners just for listening. But some of our listeners can do a little bit more. Some of our listeners have means. And if you have the means, it would be great if you made a donation to wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. This particular pledge drive, you can also go to three local record stores. That's Spike's Record Rack on Main Street in Catskill, John Doe Books and Records on Warren Street in Hudson, and the Boom and Bloom Weekend Record Store and Flower Shop out on Route 145 in East Durham. But you can also go to wgxc.org/donate and make a difference in your community to keep sophomores in high school and senior citizens on the air and everyone in between on the air in 90.7 FM. There are shows of all stripes and sounds and points of view on WGXC. We hope there's a few that you have found especially important to you. And if so, please make a donation to support those shows. 518-697-7400. 518-697-7400. Or go to wgxc.org/donate. Make a difference in your community today.
Ah, honey, you want to head upstate to Hudson? Check out the hubbub and the hot scene going on up there?
Oh, I don't know, dear. I really love it down here in Scarsdale, New York, and I have a lot of gardening and flower beds to do.
Oh, dear, dear. Let's get up there. Let's see what those 20-somethings are up to. They're so hungry, I love throwing them the blueberry muffins from the Escalade when we drive by.
Oh, that is good sport. You're right.